Well, we're studying the life of John the Baptist. This is part five, and we're almost through, really. Probably just several more weeks, and we'll be ready for start another study. And what I want to do is I want you to be thinking, is there something in particular that you would like to study as a class? A subject or something, anything. And if you want to, you can write it down and give it to me. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to even bring in something that has some particular studies on there that people have asked me in the past to do. I'll say, y'all judge that or write in whatever you want to study, and we'll talk about it there. So be thinking if there's something particular you'd like to study. Right now, we're looking at the life of John the Baptist. Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're continuing our study of the life of John, the special man, the one set apart to be the forerunner of the Messiah, the one who would go before the Messiah and announce his coming. Need a few of these? Okay. There, I'll pass them. Okay. As we look at his life, there are a lot of things that we can apply. And, we can think about he's a man set apart, we're set apart, and we want our lives to count for Christ. This morning we're going to continue seeing he's in prison. Now, we saw last time the whole idea about him being killed and all that, but now we're going sort of back in time, and he's in prison, and we're going to see him doubting. And when you start talking about the whole issue of doubting, people say, well, I've heard people say something like this, can a real Christian doubt? I mean, what does that mean, first of all, a real Christian, and how does that fit? And we're going to talk about doubting, and sometimes as we go through life, we doubt things. And we'll talk about how it fits together and see how it fits. As we look at this section of God's Word, not only we continue to look at the life of John, but we're going to see and think about the issue of doubt and doubts in our lives. So there's a lot there. May we gain from our study of the life of John the Baptist. Let's begin with a prayer, and then we'll get into this. And hopefully we'll have some input in a lot of things as well as we go through it. You know, I've said this many times. If you've got a question, comment, input, you stop. Stop right in the middle. I know with a bigger crowd and a bigger group, it's hard to do that. But don't hesitate to stop. We want to talk about it. If you've got a question about something, chances are somebody else has got the same question, and or maybe they've never even thought about some of the things you're fixing to raise. So let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for our class. Lord, we just love our Savior Jesus, and we thank you that in your grace and mercy, you sent him to this earth. And he took our place, and he became our substitute, and he became our sacrifice, and he died in our place, and he paid for our sins, and he rose again, and he conquered death, and he is the Savior and the Creator, and he is the Christ and the King and the Messiah. He is all of these things. And so, Lord, we don't want to ever take it for granted, and we thank you that we get to come and study the Word of God and to see about him and to see his interaction with others through the Scripture. We get to see the Word of God, which is given to us that we would know and apply. We get to represent him in this world. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to represent the living God and the Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask you that as we study and as we look at the life of John, as we see the whole issues of doubting and all that kind of thing, that you would teach us and that we would continue to grow to be more and more like our Savior. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we doubt God. In fact, many times we do. In fact, anytime you sin, what you're really saying is you're doubting that what God has said for you to do is better than what you decide you're going to do. We who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we have eternal life. But sometimes people who've trusted Christ doubt their salvation. Have you ever asked somebody and you say, are you going to heaven? And what do they say sometimes? I hope so, or I think so. And you talk to them and you say, have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they go, oh yeah. So you understand Jesus died on the cross for you and paid for your sins and rose again. And they say, oh yeah, so you've trusted him, yes. So you going to heaven? I hope I am. I think I am. Maybe I am. I probably will. Sometimes when people live their Christian lives, they live their lives out of fear. They live, number one, they're hanging on to what they have. They're saying, I've got to hang on. I hope I don't blow it. I hope I don't do wrong. I hope I don't lose my faith. I hope I don't get toward the end of my life and just crash and then lose my salvation. And, they're doing everything they can to hang on to what they got. That's some people. There's a second group, some of them, that they're just trying to keep on doing good, trying not to lose it. They say, if I don't keep doing good, if I don't do good to the end, not that I'm not hanging on, not that I don't mess up, I don't even mess up, but if I don't keep doing good, I'm not going to make it. See, there's some people who actually say that it's not a question of whether you trust in Jesus, it's a question of you continue to grow and you continue to do right and you continue to improve and you can't be the same level you were 3 years ago, and if you aren't, the same level, or if you haven't grown, it's just showing you're not a Christian. You're not even saved. So some people are trying to hang on to what they got. Some people are trying not to lose it because they got to keep doing things. And that raises us to this question, and that is, are we to doubt our salvation? I mean, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, are we to doubt that? Well, 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. And that Greek word means know by experience. It has the idea that you are to know that you have eternal life. So if I ask any one of you in this room, and I said, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I hope and pray that everyone in this room would say, yes, I have. And I'd say, do you have eternal life? The answer would be, yes. Are you going to heaven? Yes. Why? Because he says, I can know that I have eternal life. It's vital because people doubt a lot of things. Sometimes we just doubt Scripture. But I'm just thinking at the start of this study, just the idea of doubting our salvation. Well, this morning we want to look at the study of the life of John the Baptist. We want to see him doubt. Now, he's not doubting, I think, his salvation. I think he's doubting at this stage in prison. If Jesus really, let me put it in maybe these terms, is he really the right one? Because, see, John was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And in prison, he's now saying, was he really the right one that I was telling everybody about? Is he the right one? And some questions might be raised just for us to think about for a second. Why would he even doubt? And what was Jesus supposed to do that would clarify to him that he was the right one? In other words, could he look at what Jesus was doing or living or saying? And was Jesus not doing something that John thought he should have? Did John the Baptist actually think that if Jesus really is the Messiah and the King, he would whip the Romans, he would take over? That didn't appear to be happening. In fact, it didn't happen. So what's he doubting? What's going on? And as we study this passage, I think it's a sad time in his life. And I think it's a sad time in any believer's life when we doubt. And it's especially principles and truths that the Word of God gives us. And so we're going to see that and make some application in our lives. Let's remember where we are in our study. I think we've got the outline. I mean, just remember we got the background. It's always family responsibilities. And the second thing is we looked at the birth of John and we went through that and John's message about himself and others. Then the third thing is we saw John's message about Jesus. He called him the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice. And then we looked at John's life and where we are. We saw his ministry. We saw his accusation of Herod. That's what we saw last week or last time. And now we're at the John's questions. We see the doubts and the answers. And then I think there's the last part, which we're going to see. What does Jesus say about John? And what does he say about all of us? So that's our study that we're going through. And we've been seeing this. Now, remember this, that John was the forerunner of the Messiah. Even before he was ever born, his father was told that your son will be the one who will go before the Messiah. He will fulfill Isaiah chapter 40, Malachi chapter 3. He is the one. You remember his message? I think it's, we got it, the next slide. John's message about Jesus was he is the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, who takes away the sin, the final payment of the world, for that's every person. And that's what, think about this. Here's a man who would stand and say, see that man right there? That's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, let me ask you a question. If you can remember in our study, how did John know that Jesus was the right one?
Because the Spirit of God came down and rested upon him.
Okay, so God the Father had told John that when he did his baptizing, when a man came to be baptized and he saw what happened?
The
Holy Spirit come down. How?
Like
a dove, and actually coming down and remaining on a person. That person is the Messiah. And then John says, if you read the Gospel of John, John said, and I saw it, and he is. That's it. So we'd say, John, you're pretty sure, aren't you? I mean, you've been telling everybody he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John would say, I'm exactly right. He must increase, I must decrease. No man can do it unless whatever's been given from God. I've got my ministry, he's got his. I'm just the voice of crying, one crying in the wilderness. We'd say, well, then you got it down. He's in great shape. In fact, Jesus said about John that he's what? The greatest person? We saw that in our study already. We'll get it in this study. We saw it in our study in the Gospel of Luke. So what's happening? Why would John doubt?
Because he's a man.
Yeah, well, he's like us. Do you take God at his word all the time? Are there any promises in the Bible that you don't follow? I mean, if he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. if he says, don't be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Have any of you been anxious before? He says, pray without ceasing. Do you pray without ceasing? In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you to give thanks for everything. You count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The testing of your faith works patience. We go, well, not every time. Why not? But do we not believe that it's true? Do we doubt sometimes? Does some of you ever say, I wonder if all of this stuff really is true? And is Jesus really God? And did he die on the cross and pay for sin? And is he the only way? And does he give eternal life? And do I really have eternal life? You ever doubt that? You ever think about that? Is there something wrong with you if you doubt that way and think that way sometimes? Psalm 103 says, he knows our frame. He knows we are dust. He knows what we're like. He knows that one minute we can be saying Jesus Christ is my Savior and I love him and he's the greatest. And then 5 minutes later we can be in open rebellious sin. What did Peter say? Jesus said, who do they people say that I am? And Peter said, this is Matthew 16. Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, great answer. It wasn't just a minute or two later. And Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem and be crucified. And Peter said, we're not going to let that happen. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me. That's the same person in the same event. One minute he said good stuff. One minute he said bad stuff. You ever do good one minute? Bad the other? Do you ever believe God totally one minute and doubt God the next minute? So when we read this passage, sometimes people say, I can't believe John. And then what we really should say is, I can't believe us. Right? Because that's what we are. As we think about ministry, because John had said something like Jesus must increase and he must decrease. He talked about ministry. I think that we remembered this several weeks ago when we talked about ministry and life and ministry, that we all have a part. We all have our own ministry that God has given us and we want to be faithful. Don't compare ourselves with others, because see, that's what happened. People were coming and saying, John, everybody's going to Jesus. And John said, that's not the issue. He must increase. I must decrease. Don't compare yourself with others. And that's the third thing is lift up Jesus. That's the key. In ministry, we all have different ministries. We don't need to compare ourselves with others. And the goal is to lift up Jesus. Well, this morning, as we continue, and I ain't even been following this thing, but yeah, how do we view ministry? Okay, we're at the top of the page where it says John doubts. John has stood against Herod. He has been put in prison. We've already jumped ahead and saw his death. Well, at this time, he seems to be doubting. What is going on? Look at verse 2 of Matthew 11. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Now think about this. John had his ministry. He was 6 months older than Jesus, got the ministry going. And we don't know exactly how far into Jesus' ministry that John, it's not very far, by the way. It was very early in Jesus' ministry that John got put into prison. And it was very early in Jesus' ministry that John was killed. Because when you read some of the other Gospels, you read the very first part, it'll say John had not yet been put in prison. And then one of the Gospels says, after John's death, Jesus went and did this. And it seems to be that he really increased his ministry in the northern part of Israel after the death of John. So this is still real early. And John, it says, while in prison, he heard of the works of Christ and sent his disciples. Now, Jesus has began his ministry. What's John going to do? He's going to send some word to Jesus by his disciples, because there's still people who follow John. You realize this, I don't know if you've looked at the scripture in enough detail, but there were people who believed in the coming Messiah, that John taught them that the Lamb of God was coming, that the Messiah was coming, that John was just the voice, and there were people who believed that the Savior was coming. They trusted in the Messiah. They didn't know him as Jesus of Nazareth. They were baptized by John. And then they left, and they never even knew Jesus came, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again. Did you realize that? As all the way over to Acts 19, 20, 21, 22, that little section, Paul is out, and he finds five men, and he talks to them and about the Holy Spirit, and they went, we don't even know anything about any Holy Spirit. And he said, well, how were you baptized? And they went, John baptized us. He had to tell them about the fact that John said the Messiah was coming. He had to tell them the Messiah did come. He was Jesus of Nazareth, and he's already died and risen again, sent it back to heaven, and we're going around telling people. And they believed that. They believed in Jesus. They already believed in the Messiah, but now they believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. So there were people who followed John and were his disciples for a long time. So he sent some of his disciples to ask the questions. Now, think about this. Before he goes, before we see the question, who baptized Jesus? Who saw the Holy Spirit come down? Who's telling everybody that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Who said he must increase, I must decrease? Okay. So what does he say? And he said to him, they said, send word by the disciples, and they said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for somebody else? Now, the question I want, to, or the thing I want you to think about is, what do you do when you doubt? Where do you go? Where do you go when you doubt? Where did John go when he doubted? Where? To Jesus. He said, find out. Where do you go when you doubt? You go to the Word of God. You go to the truths. You go to the things that Jesus left us, that he said, here's the Scripture. How do we get the answers? You have to go back to the truths that you know are right. It's almost like that passage this morning when the guy finally said, I believe, help my unbelief. Can you doubt and believe at the same time? Yes, you can. People say, no, you can't. It's not possible. Yes, it is. You can believe and doubt at the same time. Not exactly the same thing, but you can believe and doubt at the same time. This man did. Sometimes I know you say, I believe it's true, but what? I don't know if it's true. Well, it's true. I believe it's true, but I don't know. Right? You ever done that? I have people in my office. They're doing that all the time. I'm going, wake up. Think about it. What's the truth? Are you the expected one, or shall we look for somebody else? Sometimes when we doubt, we get the focus off what we know is right, and we put it on our circumstances. I think that's what's happened to John. I think he's in prison. He's hearing what Jesus has done, some of the things, but he's saying, if Jesus really is the Messiah, I thought the Messiah is the king. I thought he's the greater son of David. He's the Lamb of God. He's going to take away the sin of the world. He's going to rule in righteousness and justice. He's Psalm 2. He's all of these things. So why isn't it working out? See, that's what I think got Judas. Judas jumped on the bandwagon. Judas was chosen by Jesus. Judas says, he's the king. What have they been arguing over? Who's going to be number one on the list? Who's going to be at the right in the hand and the left hand of the king when he comes? Judas probably thought, I'm probably going to be one of those two positions. But you know what? As time went by, Judas said, he's not looking like a king. In fact, I think we're on the losing side here. Why do you think he switched sides? John says, I don't understand this because he doesn't look like I thought he's going to look like. So I'm going to send a message and say, are you the expected one, or should we look for somebody else? Sometimes we trust Jesus Christ as Savior and we have the promise of eternal life. But when people doubt and they say, yeah, I told you that I was called to the hospital. A nurse up there who knew me called me and said, there's a lady up here. She has no family. Nobody visits her. We're not sure how long she's going to be here, but she's kind of been asking for a pastor, and you're the only one I could think of. Would you come up and talk to her? I did. I got up and talked to her, and I talked to her about salvation, and she said she had trusted in Jesus Christ. I said, so you have trusted in Christ as Savior? Yes, I have. I said, so you believe that he is the one who gives you eternal life? Yes, I do. I said, so you're going to heaven? Well, I hope I am. I said, well, and I'm telling y'all, I spent 30 minutes of saying, so you have put your faith in Christ as your Savior? Yes, I have. You have eternal life? Yes, I do. So you're going to heaven? I hope I am. She never could tell me she knew. And I said, why is it you would not go? And you know what she'd say? I just don't know if I've done enough. I said, I thought you said you had believed in Jesus. Isn't Jesus your Savior? Well, yes. I said, is it your works at all? No, it's not. I said, so it has nothing to do with your works? No, it doesn't. So Jesus is your Savior. Right. Have you believed in him? Yes, I have. So you're going to heaven? I hope I am. Why wouldn't you go? I just don't know if I've done enough. I left there that day because she was worn out and I was worn out. I never heard her say that she knew absolutely for sure that she was going to heaven. Can you doubt about those kind of things? Yes, you can. If you ask me, I believe she had believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior, but I believe she had heard so much confusing teaching all of her life that she just didn't grasp the grace of God in the way that we grasp it. Isn't it great to understand grace? Isn't it great to know that there's not one thing you're going to ever do? It's not one thing. Jesus gives you eternal life as a gift. Do you know how fortunate we are to understand that? Because there's people all over this town that don't understand that at all. And they're either hanging on to what they got, or they're so afraid they're going to lose it, or they're thinking they've done enough good works, or they never know. They say, you can't even know. It's not possible. Maybe when you die, you know. Aren't you glad that's not you? John's doubting. Where do we go when we doubt? We go straight to the Word of God. God's Word is truth. John 17:17. Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said to them, you go and report to John what you hear and see. When we looked at the Gospel of Luke, it actually says that Jesus started doing these things and then turned back to them and said, tell them what you're now seeing and hearing. And notice what the answer is. He says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, why in the world is that so important? Blind receive sight, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised up. That's Isaiah 35. When the Messiah would come, the lame would walk, the blind would be able to see, dead would be raised up, death would be able to hear. Isaiah 61 says when the Messiah comes, the good news would be preached to the poor. Those are two prophecies dealing with the Messiah. Jesus says, tell John what you're seeing. Because he knew John knew Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. He's saying, you go back and tell John, I'm doing exactly what the Messiah is supposed to do. The religious leaders saw those signs, didn't they? Did they believe those signs? Did they fit exactly what the Messiah was supposed to do in Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. Did they? What did they say about the things that he was doing? They said he did it in the power of Satan. They couldn't deny the signs. They did not want to believe that he was fulfilling Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. So they said, you must be doing it from Satan. And then they said, we want another sign. What was the sign that he said he had given them? The sign of the son of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights. So must the Son of Man be where? The heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. His final sign to them was his death and resurrection.
Now, was their concern that their power would be taken away?
That's exactly their concern. The religious leaders' concern was not that Jesus was the Christ and that he would be the king. Their concern was that what he was doing was causing crowds to follow him, and they were so afraid Romans were going to come in and take away their positions of responsibility. That's why Caiaphas said, it is expedient that this one man die for the whole nation. He meant it. He's got to die because he's going to mess up this nation and mess up our jobs. But the prophecy actually was that he would die for the nation of Israel because he's their Messiah and king. We'll see it as we study the Gospel of Luke later on. Jesus was doing it. Now, that was the first bail already? Okay, let me give you one thing, okay? It says, and blessed is he who does not take offense in me. That word means to trip over me, to miss the truth. We live in a world that cries out for all of our attention. There's so many distractions. Sometimes people miss the truth. Sometimes people believe in Jesus Christ and they get so confused they miss the truth. Jesus did everything the Messiah was supposed to do, and even John, who after knowing it all, got confused. Sometimes in our lives, even after you know truth, you may get confused. Now, let me tell you something. There will be people who will say to you, if you're doubting, you're probably not a Christian. You're a Christian if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. I know people who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they don't know for sure if they're going to heaven. It is not based on our faithfulness. It is based on Christ's faithfulness. Now, you don't want to doubt. You want to believe the Word of God. You want to go into maturity. You want to grow. But that doesn't mean if you do doubt certain things or get confused that you're not a Christian. Let's do this for a second. I know we got about 2 or 3 minutes, but let me just throw a few things up there and we'll talk more about it. The first question, what is doubt anyway? What is doubt? What do you think? If somebody said, what does it mean to doubt? What does it mean? To be not sure about something. What is faith? Taking God at His what? His word. Faith is being sure. Faith is saying, I believe that. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. David believed. You believe. You believe, and what you're saying is, I take it as true and sure. Doubt means I don't. The word doubt literally, one of the Greek words for doubt means to be in two minds. It means to say yes and no. Well, no, yeah. That's what the word means. It means to be like going back and forth because you can't grasp it or you don't put it together. And so that's what doubt is. It's going back and forth, basically. It's to wonder about it. It's not faith. What brings about doubt? That's the second question. What brings about doubt? Well, I think there are a number of things. I think sometimes events and circumstances in our lives. I mean, look at John. Where is he? Where is he right now when he's doubting? He's in prison. I'll bet you, I'm just saying this, but because we don't know, because we don't know what would have happened. But what if he was never in prison? Do you think maybe this would have happened? I don't know. Have you ever had things happen? I've had people say, well, if God is real, why did this happen to us? Or if God's really supposed to be looking out for me, how could this happen? Because sometimes circumstances come in people's lives and they say, well, maybe God's not really God. Maybe God's not doing what He's supposed to do. Maybe God's really not in control. Sometimes we doubt because people raise questions we ain't even thought about. And you go, I never thought about that. Well, if the Bible's true, how come over here in 2 Chronicles it says this and over here in Matthew it says this? And you go, I don't know. Boy, I hope it's right. I hope the Bible's right. Well, you begin to doubt because sometimes people raise questions you had never thought about. You've never seen. You've never been able to put it together. What if you say you're saved simply by grace through faith, and somebody comes to you from the book of James and says, it says you're saved not just by faith but by works. You go, where does it say that? Where does it say that? Why? I don't know. Right? You just never understood that passage. You've never seen how it fit together. You know what James 2 is talking about. And so until you do, you may say, whoa, this doesn't add up. How can Paul say, by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast? And James say, so the man is saved not by faith only, but works also. How can that fit? Unless you understand James 2. You don't understand it. And when somebody brings up something you maybe not thought about, you might doubt or question. The third thing sometimes, that was the second bell ring already? Oh, it did. Okay, we'll come back to this. We've never been taught. We don't have the foundational truths. And if you don't have the foundational truths, that's why I tell people, everybody needs to take the 4-12 foundations. And then eventually everybody needs to get that 2-2 study, because there are foundational truths in both of those that if you get that down, you're going to be a rock. You're going to be solid. You're going to say, I know how these things fit. And if somebody throws something at me, I'll say, listen, I may not know what that passage means, but I know what it doesn't mean. And that's what you want to be able to do. Well, we'll come back to this next time. We'll just stop right there. I got to make myself a little note of where we are. Okay. All right. Any questions or comments? We'll get more detail on this doubting thing next week, and we'll talk about it, okay? If you got some questions, be sure and bring them up. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our study. And Lord, as we look at John the Baptist and he's doubting, and we say, how could he doubt, and how does this work? We think about the same thing for us, and we realize that sometimes doubting is just, we're not trusting you. We're not sure. We're going back and forth, and we know sometimes it's events and circumstances. Sometimes somebody tells us something we never even thought about. Sometimes we're just not grounded in the truths of the Scripture, and so we don't even know what to believe, and when somebody brings something up, it confuses us. So, Lord, we want to trust you. We want to trust your word. We want to know what it says. We want to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. May we know the truth from your word, Lord. And may we not doubt you, but stand strong as we go through life. Thank you, Lord, for our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.